The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, in the Last Supper day, and the Lord sitting with his disciples, teaching them about the Holy Spirit and the New Testament and the Kingdom of Heaven. So he's giving his last sermons on that great day before his crucifixion. We were on the verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. That was not easy for their minds, because he said, a little while longer, the world will see me no more, because yes, after a few days, he ascended to heaven. After his resurrection, he stayed for like 40 days and then he ascended to heaven. So the world cannot see him anymore. But actually, the apostles kept seeing him through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit in our hearts help us to look up to him all the time, to see him around, to see him in the people, to see him in the works he's doing with us and around us. So he's saying, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. So we need to work hard in order to see Christ. Seeing Christ not like in visions or miraculous way, but seeing Christ as he taught us through everything around, because he is God of the nature. He created man on his image. He is controlling everything, so we can see him. You will see me, because I live, you will live also. Christ is the source of life, so he is always living. Because many of the Jews thought that he just died. But Christ is risen, and he is living forever. He is the source of life. Because I live, you will live also. So this kind of living is much different than any kind of life, because the people who are living at that time considered dead with the teaching of Christ. But with the new life, it's the life with Christ, through Christ, with the Holy Spirit. At that day you will know that I am in my Father. So with the gift of the Holy Spirit, they will make sure that he is God incarnate. He's always in his Father, and his Father is in him. And you in me, and I in you. So the very unique relationship between the Father and the Son being one nature. The Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of of God himself. Now with the incarnation and the redemption and the gift of the Holy Spirit, Christ himself will be in us and we will be in him. That's the holy meaning of the church. The church people, the members of the church, are living inside Christ and Christ living in them through the Holy Spirit. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So we, members of the church, in him, because now the Holy Spirit abides with us. So having the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, we are in him, and he is in us. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me. So as if he's telling us, you will enjoy this fellowship, you will enjoy this unity only by following my commandments. You stick to me. You follow my teaching. So by this only, you will feel this feeling. You will live this holy life. So he's saying, he who has my commandments and keep them, it's he who loves me. So don't say that I love Christ and you are doing many things against his teaching. If you love him, you just follow his commandment. If you love him, you consider his teaching. You revise whatever you do in your life according to the teaching given in the New Testament. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. So by loving Christ, following his teaching, obeying his commandments, you are beloved by the Father himself also, because the Father is all within the Son and the Son is all within the Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. So we are sure that Christ loves everyone. But to enjoy the love of Christ, you need to stick to his commandments. When you care much for his commandments, you will be given this kind of manifestation, which is like, I will manifest myself to him. So you will know him better by obeying his commandments. You come closer to him by following his teaching. When you are busy with whatever he said, your mind will be sanctified and your heart will be sanctified. So Christ will manifest himself in your heart. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Because they could not understand what kind of new life they will be given after redemption. And they knew him, but you know, because he was very humble and his glory as God couldn't be seen easily. So many questions in their mind, as given in this chapter by Philip, asked him, show what the Father is sufficient for us. And he told him, because you saw me, you saw the Father. Again, here is Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Christ came and everyone could see him. But you know, they saw him as a man. They couldn't believe in him as God. So the manifestation means that you believe in Christ as God, not only a man. So this kind of manifestation is revealed to the humble hearts, those who love him, who is ready to accept the truth. But for those who have stony hearts, they reject the truth. So God will not be manifested to them. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. So that's like a family relationship. He said it this way, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That's exactly what he had said before. The indication of the love to Christ is to love his word, is to stick to his commandments. And my Father will love him. And we, the Holy Trinity, will come to him and make our home with him. So making home with him means that for us as members of the church, we are in a fellowship with the Holy Trinity through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is guiding our way to know God more and more, to enjoy the relationship, to come closer to God himself, to be God's children. So that's not easy to have. It's the gift of God, but it needs to believe. It needs to be baptized, to be born again. It needs the power of the Holy Spirit, and also it needs from us to follow the commandments. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Again, Christ is repeating the same idea. I'm not speaking from myself. The Father is speaking through me. The words I'm saying is exactly the words the Father would say. So there is no, you know, separation between God the Father and the Son. They are sharing the holy divine nature, the same divine nature, the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father. By the way, let me remind you, when it comes to the heresy of Arianus in the fourth generation, these verses were given by Saint Athanasius to defend our faith, that the Son considered himself and revealed himself as the only begotten Son, just equal to the divine nature of the Father. And he is all within the Father, and the Father is all within him. And he said it in many ways in this chapter. So this chapter was very much precious in the dialogue between Saint Athanasius and the Orthodox Church and against the heretics. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So now he moved to speak more about the Holy Spirit, because, you know, they thought that one day we may forget what you are saying. The truth given to us is very precious. How can we take it by ourselves? We are very weak to deliver this great message to the whole world. So he's supporting them, telling them, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So the Father is sharing the Son in sending the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit were given by the Father and the Son. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is the Helper and the Teacher, and the one who will remind us with the teaching of Christ all the time. So now we have the Teacher inside our heart. We have the Helper from inside. We have the one who will remind us from inside. That's the gift of the New Testament. Peace I leave with you. So that's, you know, the gift of the Church, that Christ gave us his peace. So the Church of Christ is always giving the peace of Christ to the members. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ himself felt that these people now are afraid, are scared, because he is telling them, I'm going to go to heaven. My mission will end on the earth soon, but I will be always there with you, and I will put my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, inside your heart, the Helper, the Teacher, the one who will remind you with all the teaching. But still, they were like troubled with these declarations. So he said it this way, peace will stay with you. My peace I give to you. So that's the gift of Christ. Let me tell you that everyone on earth is seeking this peace. But the peace available in the world is very superficial and cannot stand against the troubles and the hardships and the doubts and the problems and the disasters happening everywhere and all the time. So the peace of God is the gift of God, and this, the only peace, can stand against all negatives. So he said that peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. It's the peace of himself, peace of God. It's the joy of the Spirit. It's not, you know, kind of logical peace, because it's illogic sometimes. How can these people, suffering all the persecutions, and they kept the peace of God? How can the Church, you know, be offended by all parties of the world, and still it's the city of peace? That's because it's the gift of Christ, the head of the Church. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. So it's a commandment. Don't let your heart be troubled, because troubles will come. But troubles may stay outside your heart, or you may let it inside. So don't allow the troubles to come to your heart. Put Christ between your heart and the troubles. Keep the peace of God. Your God is the controller, the Pantocrator. So no troubles can overcome your peace with the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Because Christ saw them, very down and felt depressed because of his declarations. So he said that, you have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. If you love me, now it's my time to be glorified. So you should be happy because of my glorification. I came to this land in order to save you. I suffered a lot. I lived like a slave, like any of you, just because of you. Now when it comes to my glorification, to my ascension to heaven, to sit on the right side of God the Father, the throne of heaven, you have to love this. You have to be happy with this if you love me. So this simple idea simplified the idea of, that we may be happy with the travel of any of our beloved to heaven, believing that they are living there happily forever and enjoying the peace of heaven and glorified with God. So he's saying, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. You all know that this verse made some problems in the early centuries, because some considered that saying greater, meaning that the divine nature is different and the greater idea is related to the nature itself. No, it's not to the nature. It's, simply to the work. Because, when you look up to Christ, God, who is in pain, in suffering, that's not the minute of glorification, at least before the eyes of people. So sitting on the throne of heaven is exactly the same glory of God the Father. So saying, my Father is greater than I, that's because of the incarnation, that's because of the redemption, that's because of the work of Christ on earth to save us. But it's not in the nature. Being the same nature, the same God, one divine nature. So he said that in the same chapter, I'm always in the Father and the Father is always in me. So you cannot consider the word greater related to the nature. It's only to the appearance from the outside. People could see God who no one can see in heaven, or Father who art in heaven, because he's always glorified. He did not suffer like the Son. That's why he may look like that he is greater than the Son. But the Son will have the same glory like the Father, because he's always in the Father and the Father is always in the Son. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. So he told them what is going to happen in order to stay strong in the faith and not be shaken by what they will see after a few hours. Glory to God. Amen.